7-Minute Learning Summary, Safeguarding Adults Review, Evelyn. The Richmond and Wandsworth Safeguarding Adults Board undertook a Safeguarding Adults Review on Evelyn in order to understand how agencies might work together in future to support people who appear to have social and health care needs, but who move frequently and refuse, or their family refuses, assessments and support. Evelyn was a 75-year-old black British woman who was a retired midwife. She had two sons, one of whom had lasting power of attorney for her care and welfare. There were multiple concerns about how well Evelyn's health and care needs were being met by her family, but attempts to intervene and to offer support were rejected. Evelyn was moved regularly by her family between three addresses in three different boroughs, seemingly to avoid contact with services, and she attended at least 8 different hospitals, some of which were private, and from which she was often discharged by her family against medical advice. Evelyn left the UK with one of her sons in March 2019 and died later in a care home on a Caribbean island. Now, a summary of the findings from this Safeguarding Adults review are as follows. Firstly, the impact on Evelyn of decisions made on her behalf by her family was not recognised. Evelyn was frequently found trapped in her home or wandering outside in distress, being neglected, not having heating, and also being moved between 3 different local authority areas. She had physical health needs, mental health needs, and care and support needs, but despite all this, decisions made by her family to refuse interventions and treatment were not challenged. Care Act assessments were offered, but were not made, and it appears that professionals were often given enough assurance by Evelyn's family that her needs were being met, or would be met, that they withdrew. This was despite accumulating evidence that Evelyn's needs were not being met. Secondly, frequent moves made it difficult, but there was insufficient interagency communication and joint working to meet Evelyn's needs. There was a lack of joint working across boroughs and a lack of clarity about what to do once Evelyn had moved from one borough to another. There appears to have been a very slow recognition that Evelyn's regular moves from place to place might actually in themselves be a safeguarding concern. Attempts were made by different boroughs at different times to initiate action, but no shared understanding of Evelyn's circumstances was formed, and there was a lack of information sharing between hospitals, which meant that patterns of attendance and discharge were not identified. Thirdly, safeguarding referrals were made, but no action was taken. Safeguarding concerns were raised, but no decisive action was made. There was a belief that if neglect was not deliberate, then it didn't meet the criteria for an inquiry under Section 42 of the Care Act. Assurances given by Evelyn's family that her needs were being met went unchallenged, and contact with Evelyn and the family was at times difficult to establish. Evelyn moved regularly, and sometimes the family were not clear about where she was. All these factors made making safeguarding inquiries more difficult. Fourthly, there was insufficient engagement with Evelyn and her family, and there was insufficient professional curiosity or responsibility in exploring her circumstances. Evelyn's family relationships were not fully understood. At different times, Evelyn's family was considered to be a protective factor, to be neglecting Evelyn, or to be preventing her needs from being met. Despite this, there was a lack of recognition that Evelyn's well-being was not being promoted. No carer's assessment was offered, and no input from an outside specialist agency, such as a carer's centre, was sought. There are some lessons that we can take away from the Safeguarding Adults review of Evelyn. Firstly, be careful when you close a safeguarding case because someone has moved out of your area and you don't know where they have gone to. If you are concerned about someone's safety, then contact an organisation that works across local authority or health areas, such as the ambulance service or the police, in case the person comes to their attention. They then may be able to notify the relevant local authority or health service. Secondly, think family. Consider and respond to the need of all family members in all your assessments and interventions. Think about whether or not anyone involved has mental health needs, uses drugs or alcohol, experiences or causes domestic violence or abuse. Are there organisations that you can ask to help you, to be involved and to help the family? Are there family members also that you can work with? Thirdly, don't assume that someone's family will always be a protective factor. Despite whatever assurances you receive that the person's needs will be met, that they'll be looked after, that they'll be safe, always think about that person's well-being. Think to yourself, what's their life like? Is their well-being promoted? If you need support when working with a hard-to-engage family, always consider about talking to your local carer centre and asking them to provide an independent voice and to offer support to the family. Fourthly, always read a client's history of contacts with your organisation. Remember that multiple hospital admissions can be a warning sign that someone's situation is getting worse. Look for patterns and repeating themes. These might help you to identify concerns that require intervention. Fifthly, check that a relative or a representative actually has the lasting power of attorney or deputyship that they claim to have. And do this as soon as possible in your relationship. Don't leave it till it's too late. Ask to see evidence that each page of the authorisation is stamped by the Office of the Public Guardian. You can also check this on the OPG website. And if someone doesn't appear to be discharging their responsibilities correctly and they're not acting in the person's best interests, then report your concerns to the OPG. Lastly, if someone you are concerned about refuses your involvement or that of other services, but appears to be at risk of harm or abuse, or it appears that their well-being isn't being promoted, then be curious about why they are refusing you. Are they being coerced, controlled, or unduly influenced? Are they afraid of the loss of close relationships? Do they fear repercussions from the person who is controlling or coercing them? Remember that they may lack the mental capacity to make decisions to protect themselves or about whether to ask for help because of these fears or because of the influence, coercion, and control of others. Ask yourself, do you need to intervene to protect this person's human rights? Do you need to apply to the Court of Protection? Thank you for listening to this 7-minute briefing regarding the Safeguarding Adults Review of Evelyn.